Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Cindy Baldwin.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists. Stitching and chatting again tonight, and I will admit right out of the gate, it's simply because I haven't had time to hunt down a guest. But we've had such fun stitching and chatting that, it's not a bad thing.
Nope.
Tonight we're putting together an audience participation game, and that's all I'm going to say about it. So we'll see if we can have a little fun, little audience participation with some photos. So, we'll just leave it there. So that's going to be tonight, and then we'll be stitching and just yakking as we have the last couple weeks. Thread Talk next week with Kathy Ray. She will be back next Wednesday, 8 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel, the same time Stitch Hour is every week. And so we'll be doing some thread talking. And Sunday, Mary Corbett joins us. Always a treat to have Mary. Seven times with Mary. So,
Wow.
Never dull. Not even for a second dull on that. Mm-mm. That woman is an endless library of information. Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's always fun. So that'll be Sunday.
It will.
Okay, so here's my experience, my local needlework store experience. I'm putting together Gay Ann Rogers' Lady Mary project because I want to add that to the Lady Edith on the wall.
Right.
It's, you know, the Downton Abbey women.
Yep.
And, she has, and so there's Dowager, the Dowager Queen or whatever it is the third one. And then,
I saw that.
Yeah, and then now she has one Dowager at Night, which is all jewels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you're interested in that, go to Gay Ann Rogers' thing, and from her sale, it's the last secret window. You click on that, and then you can let her know that you're interested in that. And that's one I'm pretty sure you'll have to buy a kit because of all the beads and whatnot that are in it. But anyway, so I'm putting this together. And I've had the chart for some time, but didn't ever kit it. Now there's some grammar for you. Didn't ever kit it. How about that? Yeah, I do words for a living.
And you're an editor.
Yeah. I never kitted it, and it has opened my eyes a bit when you get something like that and sit on it for a while.
Yeah.
Because threads go out of production.
Mm-hmm.
So two stories about this, because threads have gone out of production, and or in the case of Krynek threads, they're just having trouble keeping up, and
right,
welcome to the club. So one of the threads that is either out of production or very hard to find is a Rainbow Gallery thread called Fur Fuzz Fun, and it's a mohair thread. And it seems really out of character for Gay Ann Rogers to use a fuzzy thread. And this stuff looks from the pictures like really fuzzy. Couldn't find it anywhere. Turned out I was spelling it wrong. But you'd think Google would cover my butt on that, but it didn't. And then I started to find it, but still could not find somebody who had it. So I just posted a Needlepoint Nation and said,
saw that.
Yeah, somebody help me. Well, Donna LaBranche, Waste Not Needlepoint, to the rescue. She had it. Not only had it, but posted a picture so I could see what it was. So I called the next day, and and bingo, they're in the mail. And I did the thing, which is probably, it's why our stashes get so big, is I said, because they had two, I just needed one card of each. And the piece is like all of 8 inches square. So I probably need two, a foot out of each card. But I said to them, if you have two cards of each, send them. Because, I just detest having to scrimp and, am I going to make it? Am I going to have enough? So, I found it. I'm going to be able to get the thread. Just make sure I don't come up short,
Right.
I'll find a use somewhere. Thanks to Donna LaBranche at Waste Not Needlepoint in Virginia, to the rescue, saved it. Okay.
Yay.
So, yeah. So that, and, you know, there's Needlepoint Nation for you. I mean, you see it all the time on Needlepoint Nation. I need this because anybody have it? And boy, there'll be four people lined up. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Send me your address. I'll put it in the mail today. Yep. So you know, thank you, Donna. And the lady I talked to who helped me with the order, because I forget her name now. But anyway, she answered the phone, and this way I'm, oh, yes. And then I hear in the background, Donna says, hi, Gary. So that was kind of fun. But then the other one was some Krynek threads.
Mm-hmm.
And a braid, two braids, and a ribbon. Okay. That's, you could just smell it. You know, the minute I saw those, I thought, oh, these are going to be hard to get. I just know they are. So I called Sign of the Arrow, which is a shop here in St. Louis. Painted canvas. Have you? Oh, you have. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Very nice shop.
Yeah.
Painted canvas, so, you know, of interest, but a tremendous selection of threads.
Mm-hmm.
So I called them, and the lady who answered the phone was kind enough, one, to, and I called her about the Fur Fuzz Fun. That was the first one, because I thought, you know, 7 or 8 miles away, I can go pick it up. Her first reaction was, ooh.
Mm.
You know, and I just said, you just answered my question. Yeah, she says, I'm not even sure if that's made, but I'm pretty sure we don't have it, but I'll go look. And she went and looked, and she said, no. And she says, no, but I don't even know if that's made anymore. I said, okay, I'll hunt elsewhere. But then I said, do you have time that you could hunt down and see if you have these Krynek braids or Krynek threads? And she goes, ooh, again. And then, you know, then the well-worn shop warning these days, their shipping is rather irregular, and all right, I'll go look. Well, she found two braids that were going to be close enough. They're grays, so, you know, they're close enough. Mm. And so that worked in the ribbon. So, you know, will you put it aside?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So I go in a couple days later, and I was looking, and I keep a supply of 18-count needlepoint canvas. I just keep a half yard, yard, whatever, here at the house, because you know, you just never know.
Right.
And I was looking for my roll, what I thought was a roll of 18-point canvas, and I chopped it up pretty well. So what I thought was a roll was, you know, there's a couple pieces in there, but the rest of it's, you know, those 2-inch wide by 6-inch long, that you can't use for much of anything. So while I was in the shop, I said, by the way, how much is a yard of canvas? And she looked at me like, what? And gave me the price. I'm embellishing this a little bit for interest, but, you know, she was terrific. And I said, all right, then give me a half yard, because it was, you know, it was going to be enough. I said, give me a half yard, because a half yard at full width is still a lot of canvas.
Right.
So she cuts that, and immediately, what are you making with this? And I said, nothing at the moment. I just like to have a chunk of canvas on a shelf at home, so when I want canvas, I don't have to go get it. And and then we get up to the counter, and there's another lady there. What are you making with that? Nothing. I'm just basically restocking the shelf, you know. And I'm sure they wondered if I was nuts or whatever. First a male, you know, a male in the needlepoint shop. And
right.
And then, what, you know, what's he doing with this? You know, like I'm going to go build a wall or something with it. But no, and I just said, I just like to keep it around, and I just like to have it. And I've got a big chunk of Congress cloth, and I have some linen pieces that are neutral that can be used for most things. And I just like to have it. You know, I've had more than one instance where a chart comes up, or I trip over a chart I already own. Hey, I'm going to do that. And you, oh, geez, now I got to do all the shopping. And the first thing is, can you get the linen? No, I have it right here. Cut a piece. Let's go. So.
Yep.
So
I do the same thing. I have pink, aquamarina, and orange, and black canvas, 18-count canvas. I've got ivory. I think I've got some white. I've got gray. I've got lavender. I don't have a half a yard of each of those. You know, I might buy 12 or 18 inches all the way across. Depends. You know, usually I'll buy it when I'm working on, going to start a project, and I just, you know, buy a chunk. Instead of buying a piece that's exactly right for the project, I'll get the width I need and then all the way across the bolt.
Yeah, okay, so I'm not nuts then.
Oh, gosh, no.
Okay.
I've been working on the Bargello Hearts. That is a correspondence course through ANG. Our local chapter did it, way over a year ago. I'm still working. Well, there's 20 hearts. I'm still working on them. And I need 8x8 mm-hmm. piece of canvas for each one of them. And so I've got canvas. I can just whack off a chunk and, you know, pull threads out of my stash and go to town.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I think that's okay. That gives me some justification then, because I had been frustrated because with the Lady Mary thing, it requires an off-white ecru, whatever. I think it's called ivory, but you know, whatever, off-white.
Yeah. Right.
And I thought I had a chunk of that. I thought I had, because that's the other color that I like to have, mm-hmm. and I didn't. I'd used it all up. I found the last scrap useless.
Yeah.
why are you hanging on to this? You know, we can't even use it. And so then when I ordered the threads from the main threads from Stitchville, then, you know, please send me a 10x10 inch piece of ivory. And you know, all the while kicking myself that I didn't have a piece I could just cut off. And okay, so because that got me to thinking, are there other things that I need to restock? Because, you know, and then wanted to ask you about that, because I think that if you're doing needlework on an ongoing basis, there are some basic things that you should have a supply of all the time. You know, DMC mm-hmm. white, for instance.
And black,
yep. Yeah. You know, and you know, that raises the question, are there DMC colors you should always have? White, black, and ecru. Floss, pearl. I don't know.
It's hard to say. Many years ago, I was pretty close to having a full set of DMC floss, at least one skein of each.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I quit doing that because I ran into too many projects where I needed more and the colors didn't match because the dye lots were different.
Uh-huh.
And decided at that point that, you know, if I know I'm going to need a lot, I just buy however many skeins I need. If I know that I don't need very much, I'll use what's in my stash. That where I really use the stash a lot, and I have a pretty hefty stash. I don't know if I have as much as Beth has.
Well, that's a different league now. That's, you know, that's major league stuff there. So yeah, probably not.
Yeah, but mine is pretty healthy, and I use it for things like, like the Hearts project. You know, I just go find colors that I like and use the next. You know, that's what I do the next heart on.
Yeah.
Or we did a. One of the correspondence courses for the Cyberpointers group was the Candy Canvas Bowl by Carol Story, I think. And I didn't have the color she used, so I just picked my own out of my stash. And I wasn't able to use exactly the same threads that she used because I didn't have the right colors for the it. I started with the watercolors, a Karen thread, you know, for the main color, and it had pinks in it, so I used a piece of pink canvas out of my stash.
Yep.
And, you know, just that's where the stash comes in handy, when you're just picking up a counted canvas project and, you know, you're not going to do it in the same colors that the designers did it in. You can go and find almost everything most of the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes I need to, you know, to go get another thread to fill in, but a lot of the times I can just stitch right out of my stash for these kinds of projects.
Yeah. And see, to me, that's, you know, that's, I don't even have a word for it, but it really is a plus, I think, to be able to do that and not to just go out and buy a bunch of stuff just to buy it, but right. accumulate over time. And mm-hmm. and then, yeah, you come up with a project. Hey, I'd like to do that. I have the chart. I'm going to change the colors because I have these colors and these threads, and this will work, and you're off and running. And mm-hmm. It saves a trip to the store or whatever. And,
usually you decide to start that project at, 6 o'clock Saturday evening.
Right, exactly. That's exactly when you start them. That's like a, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. You can't get anything. Yeah. Yeah.
You can order stuff online, but you know you're not going to get it for a while.
Right. Right.
Even if the store has it in stock, it's going to probably be a week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Before you get it. And by that time, you've maybe lost interest in it.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Or started something else that you did have the materials for.
Right. Right. No, so, yeah, it was just, to me, it was one of those, I'm just restocking the shelves here, and so now I've got this great big chunk of 18-count canvas that I got to put into a plastic bag or something to keep it clean, but, mm-hmm. you know, then I know at 6 o'clock on Saturday night, that's the hour, all right, we're writing that down, that's the moment that I see something and I want to do it, or, you know, like I said, a chart that I have that I never kitted, well... Uh-huh. Cut off a piece of canvas, let's go. Figure out the threads and go for it. And
right. So I have a pattern for an autumn, fall kind of themed stocking.
Uh-huh.
And it's a cross-stitch pattern. So I went in a quilt store last week, because they had some awesome autumn, fall prints. I get their newsletter, so you know, some pictures of some of their cool. Oh my gosh! I wound up buying 4 pieces, a half yard of each, because I don't know how much I'm going to need to back the stocking, but I want to make sure I've got plenty.
Right.
And I got the same question: what are you going to do with this? Are you making a table runner? And I said, no, I don't quilt. It's for my stash for finishing needlework projects.
Yeah.
And, you know, I won't use, obviously, I'll use one for the stocking, and whichever one happens to go best with the colors, thread colors, which I didn't happen to have with me. But I know, you know, they're oranges and browns and golds,
right.
So fall colors. And so I'll use whichever one I like best, and the other fabrics will be used to finish ornaments or other projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, have it sitting around. You never know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was trying to think what other things, because now I always have a good supply of needles at different sizes. I always make sure I have plenty of those. And I finished a jar of jam the other day, and it's kind of a nice jar. And I said to Marcus, it was sitting there in the sink to be washed out before it was thrown away. I said, I'm going to save that one because I keep
for
jars.
For orts?
No, I have...
Because you need something else to put orts in.
I have ample supply of ort bowls. Thank you very much. But I keep, if there's a jar that looks kind of nice, I mean, this has kind of a gingham top on it, and it's got a nice shape to it, I'll keep them, and then you get beads or any number of things, tacks. I've got a jar where all the tacks are in it. And so I have 4 or 5 jars that are sitting here that can be used for anything. I mean, I don't keep all the jars because that gets ridiculous, but you get a nice one. And
beads are another thing that you should absolutely buy when you buy the pattern.
Mm.
There's a lot of Mill Hill beads that have been discontinued.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just their standard beads, much less the specialty, the treasures, the crystals and things like that.
Yeah.
I've learned that the hard way.
Yeah. And then the piece isn't that you saw, if you can't get things like beads, is not the same. It's not the same if you have to get some substitute or you can't get anything to substitute and then you're really stuck.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's,
And sometimes it's just hard to find, because you don't know what the color is. You know, mm-hmm. it says Mill Hill, you know, whatever the color number is. But it doesn't say it's blue or red or purple. It just has the number.
Yeah.
So you don't know what color it was. And I think there might be some lists out there that say what old colors were.
Mm-hmm.
But, I've just learned to buy the beads when I buy the pattern.
Yeah.
And then keep them together.
Oh, there's the other part. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Keep them together. Yep. Yep. If I kit a chart, I will mark on the chart that it's kitted.
Yep.
And then I will, everything goes in a bag, and mm-hmm. that is also marked that it goes with X chart. And then I'm comfortable separating the two, putting the charts mm-hmm. in a file box or something.
Right.
But that's a good point, because then you'll come along one day and you'll come across a bag full of threads and, what's this for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've even run into that when I've ordered, you know, stuff, threads or whatever. And, you know, maybe they're back ordered for a while and then it comes and it's, ooh, what was this for?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've learned to keep a list of what I've ordered and what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, stuff comes in, some stuff comes in right away, but a lot of times stuff is backordered. Not most of the time, I don't really care. You know, I just want to get it so that I've got it when I'm ready to start it. But then I forget what it was for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, to anyone listening to this for the first time, listen to us talk, you know, what is wrong with these people? They have so much stuff, they're forgetting what they have. Stick around long enough.
Oh, yeah. I can't tell you how many patterns I've bought more than one of.
Oh, yeah.
Until I started keeping track mm-hmm. on an app of which ones I've got. And then I have to remember to check the app.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah, it's very helpful.
And books. You know, not necessarily needlework, but just books to read.
Uh-huh.
And I bought multiples of books because I don't take the time to figure out if I've actually read it. It looks good. A lot of times they'll come out, they'll issue a new edition and the cover is different.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, so it looks like a new book. And, an author you like must be a new book. So you get it and take it home and then find out you've read it before.
This sounds familiar. Wait, where did I read this? Yeah, that's the other book that's on your shelf. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I've not made the mistake of buying the same chart twice. That doesn't mean that I'm exempt from that, because I have purchased the same threads multiple times and wondered why I have six of a color that I would... You know, you idiot, you know, check first. And, but now I will say, and I'm very grateful for this, that one of the best sources of giveaway items for the Stitch Hour is people who have purchased the same chart twice. It's an excellent source, and I appreciate it to everyone who's contributed. And anyone who wants to contribute, you know, the duplicate charts, happy to have them as giveaways because, it happens a lot. Yeah. So, it was just an interesting thing that, what things do you have that you should keep in stock? You know, one thing is twill for wrapping hoops.
And stretcher bars.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, stretcher bars. Yeah, there's one. Okay, a story. Lady Mary. This Lady Mary has been a story. Okay, so stretcher bars. I didn't even give that a thought, because certainly I have a set of nine inch stretcher bars that either have a project on them or are just sitting in a drawer. Certainly I have that.
Of course.
No, I have 8, 11, and 12.
Not even tens, huh?
No. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. So I had to order adjust-a-frame bars for that, because I just kind of sat there. Certainly I have that. I'm going to mount the canvas, you know, find the center, and start stitching. No, you're not, because you got nothing to mount it on. Nothing. It's just, you know. And then I was telling Margaret I didn't have the 9-inch, and so I ordered them ordered the adjuster frames. And I said, you know, I had 8, 11, and 12. Well, why? And then she, why didn't you get the 10-inch, too, and just save yourself the trouble the next time?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, why didn't I? Just, yeah. Yeah. So, they're on the way, too. Yeah. I'll start Lady Mary at some point. Yes. Jeez. Yep. So, then the other question comes up, and I wondered about it, because you have interesting interests. an editor would fix that.
Wordsmithing there, right?
Yes, an editor would fix that in the first edit, yes. What do you listen to when you are stitching?
Mostly podcasts or audiobooks when I run out of podcasts.
Okay.
Mostly podcasts.
Okay. Hmm.
And mostly science podcasts.
And that's where the interesting interest comes in, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So science podcast while doing needlework. There's a combination.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, my undergraduate degree is biology with a minor in chemistry. My graduate degree is in environmental health.
Mm.
And so science is interesting to me. Lots of different kinds of science. And I'm not good at math, but it's interesting to me to learn about not the technical parts necessarily of science or math, but, you know, stories about the people who, you know, developed whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's one of the beautiful things about podcasts is they've become such a thing anymore that no matter what your interest, you can find half dozen of them that will
feed
that.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I know I mean, I have probably 24 or 25 podcasts that I listen to regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of what's out there.
No.
You know, if you go looking for something, you can find it.
Yep.
You know, just by putting in a couple of search words.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fiction stuff out there. I don't really listen. If I'm going to listen to fiction, I'll listen to an audiobook.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of serialized podcasts that are, you know, different kinds of fiction, crime fiction or
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
I just happen to like the science stuff.
Yeah. I've tried those. I can't get into them. It's funny. They amuse me because basically we've come full circle with those serialized podcasts. All the way back
radio.
To the original radio days. Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right.
All the way back. Yeah. It entertains me in this day and age because some of them are incredibly popular. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, folks, that's no different than the early days of radio.
Right.
Yeah. Every Saturday night, the family would gather around to listen to the next episode of whatever. And,
uh-huh.
Yep. So same thing.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that's
pretty funny.
Yeah. I have not done the audiobooks. Now, see, that's a weird thing for me because when I had a job at one point that required an hour commute each way,
mm-hmm.
and I ate up that time with audiobooks. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed them, and it killed off those hours on the expressway like nothing. I mean, just made them nothing.
Right.
And then I quit doing that, and I don't know why I don't do audiobooks now, because there's a superb way to do it, and podcasts. Now, see, I'll do podcasts when I'm riding my bike on the trainer or sometimes even out on the road if I know that, you know, it's a zero traffic or low traffic ride.
Right.
I'll do that. And then I listen to podcasts all the time when I'm driving or when driving by myself. When Margaret's along, then I don't. And then, like, if I'm doing house projects, I'll have those on in my head all the mm-hmm. time. Because they really do, you know, they feed that other side of the brain. And
right.
Yeah, they're important. But I never do it when I'm stitching. It's weird.
Well, I do. I'll watch movies. I don't watch movies. I listen to movies, or you know, other things on TV from time to time. But the podcasts take me quite a while to get through because the science ones, especially, tend to be pretty long. They're most of them are well over an hour.
Ah, okay, yeah.
So they're. You know, they are a time commitment. And I used to listen to them when I was commuting back and forth to work.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, started working from home last year when everybody else did. And then I retired. So now I'm not out on the road all the time.
Yeah.
So I just switched to listening to them while I'm stitching.
Right. Gonna have to give that a try. I have to break with my pattern because, see, when I set up my room here in the new place, one of the things I did was I put a TV in here because sports for me are ideal for stitching because you really only have to look up at certain moments, and then the rest of the time is just you know getting the play ready or. In baseball, you know, the interminable amount of time while the batter adjusts their glove and the pitcher wipes his forehead and, okay, now we're going to have another pitch. Okay, I'll look up for 3 seconds and then we'll go back to it. And, and drag racing is ideal for stitching because all of 4 seconds that they take to cover that 1,000 feet and the rest of it is all the burnout and all the prep and blah, 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 blah. And, yeah, you get a lot of stitching done watching drag racing. A lot of stitching, yeah. And, because when they say, all right, they're staging, all right, I'll look up. 4 seconds later, okay, back to it. So,
yeah. Yeah, I'm not really into sports, but I have friends that are, and they do the same thing. You know, they'll put the hockey game on or the football game or whatever, or baseball game, and stitch to the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Because again, you don't have to really watch it.
No.
You can listen.
And that's the key in to anything on the TV is it has to be something where there's ongoing dialogue.
Yes.
Because if there's long stretches of silence, that means something's happening that's probably important, and you got to look up.
Right.
Yeah. And subtitles, no.
No.
No. No.
No, and the movies that I watch are things that I've watched before that I'm familiar with, so yes. I don't really need to watch them. I know what's happening. It's just something in the background.
Right. Yeah, because I wonder how many people stitch in silence, are happy to just have silence. Seems like you have to have something else going on to keep that other side of the brain going, but...
I do.
Yeah. I wonder if there are people who, you know... There's so much noise in their lives that just to have pure silence is bliss.
Or maybe music.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that was, that would be an interesting list to develop. Who listens to what when they stitch? Because I was listening to a podcast the other day where the guest said she listened to Christian music. Mm-hmm. And, because she had basically, it was a story about how she had used needlework to help her cure an incredible case of anxiety. And for her, it was Christian music. And then I got to thinking, all right, I can see that, though most modern Christian music is to me so trite that I got no interest in it. You know, there's just no, it's just the same thing over and over. Could have written the lyrics myself. But then you look at classical music. Could you put on Mozart for 2 or 3 hours? I bet you could. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed that.
I'd probably be more inclined to listen to 50s, 60s rock and roll.
Uh-huh.
And sing along.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Folk music, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. The ones I want to meet are the people who listen to heavy metal.
Yeah.
Those are the stitchers I want to meet. I want to see what they do.
Yeah, really.
Head banging heavy metal while you're doing silk on 40 count linen. Yeah, there we go. There's a package. Yep.
That seems kind of incompatible.
It does. But there's somebody out there. You know there is.
Oh, you know, yeah, there, I'm sure. Is.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, it's it'd be an interesting survey. Who listens to what, watches what when they do it. I got to give the audiobooks a try, because when I was doing that, the audiobooks, the only way to get them was through the library. You had to go check them out on CDs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now, obviously, you don't have to do that at all, because with audiobooks and there's two or three, and I got to believe through local library systems you can get a supply or tap into a recording.
Absolutely. There's a couple of different apps that are for libraries, for audiobooks.
Okay.
And I can't tell you what they are off the top of my head, because I don't use them. I purchase my audiobooks.
Yeah.
Usually. But yeah, there's several different sources.
Yeah. Because that's a way.
The thing about library is that, you know, it's the same thing that you run into when you want a book. If somebody's got it checked out, you have to wait.
Yeah.
It works the same way for audiobooks.
Which doesn't make any sense to me, but.
Well, they only have so many licenses. So.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. And the thing that I hesitate to do to use a library for audiobooks is getting through it. And I don't know how long they let you check them out for. I haven't really explored that. But I might not get through it in the amount of time that is allowed.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's where I tend, if I'm buying a book, whether it's on my tablet or a physical book, I tend to buy them for that very reason. Because then it eliminates the pressure to get through it. Because I bought a book when we were coming home from Arizona here three weeks ago, and fired through half of it. And it's one of those books where I'm curious to see how it comes out, but it's not one of those you can't put down.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been sitting there half read. You see, you know, if it had been a library book, then I'd feel, oh, I really got to read it. And now it sits there half read, and I really am still curious, but I can feel it slipping away, you know.
Yeah.
Eventually I won't read it. So it's just,
But you'll come back to it sometime and
yeah,
maybe start it over again to refresh your memory and then get through it the next time.
I'm pretty sure on this one I'll be able to pick up right where I left off and piece it back together. Yeah, it's not particularly deep. It was a good premise, but you got to deliver. You got to deliver.
Yeah.
And when you fall back to the old tried and true, it's a, you know, international spy mystery whatever movie or book, and when you go back to the standard trite path, it's just okay. I've read this 1,000 times, so you know, cut new ground, please. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, that kind of takes us into one of the other topics that you had on our list, and that's finishing something.
Yeah.
You know, do we feel compelled to finish something? I almost always finish books that I'm reading. There's only been a very few that I have not finished because I just didn't like them or whatever. But there's been a lot of needlework projects that I started to learn a technique and did enough to know that I didn't really like the technique all that much, and so I didn't finish them.
Yep. Yeah. It's kind of like a book, isn't it? Yep. I got out of it. Yeah. I don't like this. And yeah.
Yeah. And so we shouldn't feel bad about that.
No.
You know, there's nothing wrong with trying something and deciding that you don't like it and not spending your time. I don't want to say wasting your time, but not spending your time finishing it when, you know, you don't really like it.
Right. I don't think you ever waste time doing stitching, whether you finish it or not, because you're always going to take something out of it.
Agreed.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's ever a waste of time. And yeah, and I think it's perfectly legit to just quit on a project. Just say, I'm done with it.
You know? Mm-hmm.
But But then, all right, so then when you quit on a project, and that's not the right phrasing, when you decide you no longer want to finish a project, what do you do with it? Do you store it away hoping it'll come back to you one day? Do you tear it apart and save the pieces for something else?
It depends on how much I've done on it. You know, if it's something that takes up a fair amount of the fabric, I'll probably just throw it away.
Okay.
Or, you know, sometimes somebody else might be interested in finishing it.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. So the Embroiderers Guild that I belong to has a garage sale every other year.
Oh.
And a lot of times people will, you know, say, oh, yeah, I'm not going to finish this. But maybe somebody else would be interested in finishing it, you know, so they donate it to the garage sale. And the proceeds go to the chapter. So it's a fundraiser for the chapter.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah.
And I, you know, I don't know how often people actually do pick up a project and finish it. But I know that, you know, some people do.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, that's a good contribution. It lives on in some way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, if it's something that I didn't do very much on and I know that I'm never going to finish it, I might, and there's enough of the fabric left that I could use something else, I might just take the stitching out, or I might just cut that piece off and get rid of it. I mean, you can always use little pieces of fabric for bookmarks and pin yeah. cushions and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that, so...
Have you powered through a project that you really just don't want to finish just because it's there?
No, I can't think okay. of one that I have pulled pieces out years after I started them and finished them.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
Some of that was because it was a class that I took that I wasn't really was a intermediate or an advanced class that I wasn't really, shouldn't have been in.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, what the heck, I'm going to take it anyway.
Right.
And I need to learn more about the technique before I can go back and finish it.
Yeah. Now, see, that's an interesting thing. All right, so you take a class that's a little over your head
mm-hmm.
and start it, and I know how those get started, a few stitches here and there, and then it gets set aside.
Mm-hmm.
So then as you're doing other things, is that in your mind at some day, you know, this technique will help me with that one? And it kind of becomes that Emerald City down the road that you could get to?
No, it's not that.
Okay.
I don't. It's right. not that planned. It's just like, you know, oh, I think I can finish this now.
Mm-hmm. I have enough skill.
Have enough skill. I have enough practice. And so black work is the technique that I'm probably thinking about the most at this point, because I took a black work class at the first seminar, EGA seminar that I went to, and I'd never done black work before. I didn't know what I was doing. And it also had some gold work on it. So I did whatever we did in class, and then there was no way I could have finished it when I brought it home.
Uh-huh.
I needed to do more different kinds of needlework, because I'd only just joined the Embroiderers Guild when I went to seminar for the first time.
Oh, okay.
So after, you know, years of being in the chapter, doing lots of different projects, small projects, you know, for meetings, and bigger projects for correspondence courses, then I felt like I was able to go back and pull that project out and finish it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do the gold work and the black work.
Yeah. Black work intrigues me. I've never done it. But I have two or three books because I'd like to give it a try, because it fascinates me how at the upper tier of that, how much you can do just simply with thread weight.
Uh-huh.
It's I mean, some of those things are just impressive. And
yeah.
And how they can do that, and you can't see any carried threads on the back, and it really is an interesting technique that I have on, you know, on my mental list of I'm going to try that one day.
I really like black work, and I will say that I haven't really done anything that's extremely advanced where, you know, you're using not just different thread weights, but different, starting with a simple pattern and adding to it to make it darker.
Mm-hmm.
I have some patterns that do that that I just haven't started.
Yeah.
But black work is fun to do. Now, you can be real picky about it and make it reversible. Some black work patterns are not. You can't do them reversibly. You just have to stitch them and do your best to make sure that the threads don't show through.
Right.
Where you have to carry. But reversible black work is a real, you really have to think about your path that you're traveling and figure it out in advance so that, you know, it can be turned over and it might not look exactly the same, but it's clear that there's a pattern on the back.
Yeah.
And I don't do that because I don't really want to spend the time working out a path ahead of time.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So I kind of tend to, and I don't think I've ever done anything that needed to be reversible.
Yeah.
I haven't done anything on clothing or anything like that. But I do follow, I think it's called Historic Handwork on Facebook. And periodically people on that will post a garment that they've done black work on, the collar or the cuffs or, you know, a placket for a man's shirt or something like that. And it's really pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's an interesting technique because it basically the actual stitching part is pretty simple.
Uh-huh.
It's the stitch path and where you put the threads, but yeah, it's not like you have to learn how to couch gold work and manage all the stiff threads or anything, but the results are just, in a lot of cases, are really stunning, really stunning.
And the filling patterns are just uncountable.
Yeah.
You know, every book, I mean, I have probably two or three different books with blackwork patterns in them, and I doubt that any but the most simplest are repeated. There's just so many different kinds of patterns that you can use to fill a shape. And of course, the simplest shape is a geometric shape, a square or a triangle or a rectangle, not yeah. a triangle necessarily, but a rectangle. I've done two pieces that are not geometric. One is a lotus flower,
uh-huh.
and the other one is a dragon.
Hmm.
And in both of those cases, you draw the outline on the fabric and then do an outline stitch. On the lotus, that was the one that has the gold work around each petal. The dragon has a, I forget what the outline stitch is, but you outline each area and then fill in the different areas with different blackwork patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little more complicated because you have to transfer your outline to your fabric. It's not yeah. counted.
Do you stitch that? Is that done mainly on a linen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you could do it on Aida or a even weave.
Mm-hmm.
But there's times when an even weave it or a linen is probably better because there might be times that you don't go exactly diagonal.
Oh, okay.
You can do that on Aida, but you have to be, you know, pierce the,
right.
which is, you know, a little harder to do.
Yeah, you got
to
muscle it through. Yeah.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think, I forget who it is. I think it might be Ann Strike Kurtz. Did a book about black work on canvas. I can't remember the name of it, but one of the things that she explained in that book is how to do black work on canvas without carrying your threads across the open part of the canvas. mm-hmm. which, you know, would be even more of a challenge than doing it on linen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So there is a technique, and it's basically double running. But I've double running is kind of hard to do and make it straight. Sometimes it's kind of wobbly looking.
Right.
Backstitch is probably the easiest way to make a straight line. But in that canvas book on black work, what she tells you to do is you have to kind of feel where the thread is on the back. You come up on one side and you go down on the other side of the thread. This would be for double running. And so your stitch is angled just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of straightens it out.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I described that very well, but
yeah.
But you can do black work on Congress cloth or on canvas too. As long as you pay attention to where your stitches are going and
yeah.
so that they're not going to show through.
Yeah, I got to give this a try, cuz I mean that's my general approach to is figuring out a stitch path. I tend to do
right.
that for everything. So that would not be foreign to me at all. And I really like the way this stuff looks. It's really great.
Well, I do that too, figuring out a stitch path. But with black work, sometimes it's a long stitch path.
Oh, you got, it's a stitch journey?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. So especially with the more complicated patterns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got – it's not just a simple little geometric motif. You know, maybe you've got something that's maybe an inch or two long that you have to work your path through and figure out the branching, you know, whatever it happens to be.
Uh-huh.
It just takes a little more thought.
Yeah. So it's like stitch chess. You got to plan the next 10 moves at all times. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. That could be fun. Yeah. That could be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you start out with something that's simple and figure out how to do that and then work your way up to the more complicated things.
Yeah, I think that's how I'd approach it. Just a scrap of cloth and just, you know, grab a chart and just do some basic patterns just to get a feel mm-hmm. for it. Yeah.
So there are a couple of stitch-alongs on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah. Peppermint Purple has one and The Steady Thread has another one. And I followed both of them for 2 years. I did last year's for Peppermint Purple. I haven't done the Steady Thread one yet, but both of them have really, really nice designs. Not just for their stitch, the stitch alongs are free, but they also have really nice patterns
mm-hmm.
that you can, you know, do black, you know, some of it can be more complicated, but they tend to be more of the geometric, not so much of the Jen Goodwin kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where it's a lion and it's all done in black work.
I know. Yeah, I have that book. That's one of my black work books. Oh, man.
I have that book too.
That's one you just look at a lot.
Yeah, and yeah. drool over.
Yeah. Oh, man, that stuff is amazing. Just amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
What, the lion was the one she did negative space, or how did she do that? Yeah, the complete reverse of what you'd normally do. And yeah. She frightens me. She's really good.
She is really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That gives me, All right. I got to move that up the list, I think. Give that a try. Just grab a scrap of cloth and just play with it and see what happens. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I think so. All right. We're going to have to call it here. We are.
Okay.
All right. So tonight, join us. A little audience participation game. Could be a lot of fun or really boring. You just never know how it goes. But join us 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel. And bring your friends. Mary Corbett on Sunday. Always a treat to chat with Mary. Thanks for listening.
Bye.